Good afternoon, everyone. I'm calling the July 23 meeting of the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners to order at 2:01 p.m. Our next item of business is roll call.
Chris Daly.
Present.
Charlene Larbs.
Present.
Barbara Paulson.
Present.
Mark Harris.
Present.
Dana Ganatra.
Present.
And myself, Vicki Garola.
And if I may just add, just on the record, Dr. McAllister is absent. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra.
All right. Considering we have established a quorum, having the majority of board members present today, our next item of business is agenda item 3, declaration of conflicts of interest. Board members have anything to declare?
This is Charlene Marbs. I have no conflicts of interest to declare.
This is Barbara Paulson. I have no conflicts of interest as well.
And Chris Daly, I have none. Considering there are no item of business, agenda item 4, approval of meeting minutes. And the first item here is 4-1, regular session meeting minutes from May 12th. And I do believe we approve those at our June meeting.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this specific item relates to another matter on your agenda. And I believe it is it 6A, Shana?
That's correct, yes.
So with 6A, it was discovered after the board meeting that the motion failed to include offer a consent agreement for the reinstatement of the license subject to certain terms and conditions. So we would need to, if we could, at the appropriate time, maybe address agenda item 6A and move to amend the prior motion to include offering the individual a consent agreement for the reinstatement of her license. And once we do that, then we can go back to 4-1 or 4-i and just amend the minutes to reflect that it was a amended consent agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. And there's no motion required at this time regarding that item.
Well, if we could, for item 4i, or for 6A?
Correct. Yes, correct.
Well, for 6A, would the board consider just making a motion to amend their prior motion to include offering the applicant a consent agreement for the issuance of the reinstatement of her license subject to the terms and conditions that were reflected in your initial motion?
I'm happy to do that now since I read where I had made the motion initially.
Thank you.
So at this time, I'd like to make a motion to amend the motion for Rachel Carter to include a consent agreement along with the prior terms issued in the motion made on May 12th.
Perfect. Thank you, Ms. Marbs. And then we'll just need a second for that.
Barbara, you're muted.
You're still muted.
Mr. Harris, I just have a quick question. So would that need to incorporate what the offer of the consent agreement is based on?
That's a great question. I don't think so, because the motion references all the terms and conditions of the original. It's just to add offering her a consent agreement to the reinstatement of her license. So thank you for asking.
Thank you for clarifying it. So I will second the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Paulson. It is moved and seconded to amend the motion. So sorry. It is moved and seconded to offer a consent agreement for approval and issuance of licensure to Ms. Carter with the required completion of 3 hours continuing education and medical LLB, in addition to the standard continuing education requirement for licensure to be completed within 6 months of the date of the signed consent agreement and 1 year probation. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Promotion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Then, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and Shana, now that we did that, now that I'm thinking about it, Shana, I don't think we need to take any action with Roman numeral 4, small I, because these minutes will reflect that they amended their prior motion to include offering her a consent agreement. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if you want, you can just take no action on 4I and then, maybe move on to 4II.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving on to our next agenda item, 4II, regular session meeting minutes of June 23rd, 2023. The June 23rd, 2023 meeting minutes have been previously distributed. To note, Dr. McAllister was absent during that meeting. Are there any corrections or discussion pertaining to the June meeting minutes? Hearing no questions or discussion, I move to adopt the June 2023 meeting minutes as distributed.
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
It is moved and seconded that we adopt the June 23rd, 2023 meeting minutes as distributed. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item of business, agenda item 5, review and consideration future board meeting schedule. And looking at the proposed schedule, we have 5A, August 11th, B, September 8th, and C, October 13th. Do any members of the board have
I previously mentioned that I will not be present September 8th. I'll be out of town. So as of now, barring no trip cancellations, I'll still be out on September 8th.
Mr. Chair, this is Barbara Paulson. I can make all of those meetings, as far as I know.
Thank you, Ms. Paulson. I have no conflicts myself. So are we at risk in September of not meeting quorum?
Mr. Daly, the September 8th, 2023 meeting, we've identified as an agenda item to be placed on to August meeting when Dr. Q is back.
Thank you.
We'll continue that. Thank you.
All right, moving on. Our next item of business, agenda item 6, review consideration and possible action on reinstatement licensure applications. We have 6A, the matter of Rachel Carter.
And Mr. Daly, that was the motion that was just... That
very was just, sorry.
Thank you.
Moving right along. Agenda item 7, review consideration and possible action complaint. And A, initial review, we have none. 7A, we have 7B, we have none. Agenda item 8. Review consideration, possible action on initial application. We have none. Agenda item 9, review consideration and possible action on applications for licensure. Item 9A, initial applications. We have the matter 9A1, Rachel Yoakum. And in very brief summary. It was an incident that occurred with a park ranger or peace officer. Miss Yoakum provided a detailed explanation of the events surrounding the incident. It did ultimately end in Miss Yoakum accepting a plea for charge of interference with a peace officer. I'm here with us today. Yoakum, sorry.
I do not see her on, Mr. Chair. I did invite.
I am on.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Ms. Yoakum. Just wanted to give you an opportunity if you would like to address the board at this time, if you would like to provide any additional clarity or information surrounding the matter.
Yeah, I think if I would have, my husband was in law school at the time. I didn't really have the money to go to court or the time, and the charges would have been dropped completely if I would have done that. But instead, we opted to go the cheaper route of just having a misdemeanor charge of interference of a peace officer. I've been a practicing OT for 20 years without any incidents prior to that. So that's kind of, I think, all I have to add.
Thank you, Ms. Yoakum. Any members of the board have additional questions?
This is Barbara Paulson. I have none.
And Ms. Yoakum, you answered mine. I was going to ask if you have already been practicing occupational therapy and which other state you're currently licensed.
I'm currently licensed in Wyoming and Colorado. And then I had applied in Utah.
Thank you. And Ms. Yoakum, as far as we're concerned now, the matter is closed and there's no additional action items on your part in terms of any resolution?
No, that was 3 years ago and there has been nothing additional since then.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Yoakum, you said you applied in Utah. Was your license granted in Utah as well?
I'm still working through applying through that process.
Okay, and you've applied for a job here in Arizona, I take it?
I'm actually doing teletherapy, and so the company I work for is having me get licensed in Arizona currently.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Any further discussion from the board?
Not from me. Mr. Chair, I'll go ahead and move that the board approve the license of Rachel Yoakum.
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
It is moved and seconded that we approve the initial application for licensure of Rachel Yoakum. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Ms. Yoakum, thank you so much for your time with us today. We appreciate it and for your detailed explanation and your candor. Wishing you the best of luck.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to agenda item 9B1, the matter of Teresa. Is it, I'm so sorry if I mispronounced this, Pfeiffer? You can correct me at any point.
It is Pfeiffer. Yes, I'm here.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pfeiffer. Appreciate that. And in very brief review, Ms. Pfeiffer's license expired on April 15th, 2023. There were two different renewal reminders sent out via email on February 14th and March 16th of 2023. And that Ms. Pfeiffer started her renewal application on April 11th, at which time the application was not actually submitted. And on June 19th, the system sent an email to Ms. Pfeiffer that her application was closed due to inactivity. And then we received the completed reinstatement application on June 20th, 2023. And Ms. Pfeiffer did submit an explanation surrounding the oversight of that administrative detail. Ms. Pfeiffer, would you like to address the board at this time or provide any additional information regarding the matter?
Sure. I honestly have no idea what button I did not click. I moved forward assuming that it was completed, so I still have no idea. All of my information was saved, but obviously, I don't know what happened, so I do apologize.
Did the system trigger you to make a payment when you were entering your information?
I mean, I'm sure it did. I've done this plenty of times, so that's where my mind is just baffled.
You didn't see a charge or anything for?
Well, I didn't follow up to make sure there was a charge.
Okay.
I didn't assume that I needed to. I just kind of went on with the school year as we do.
Okay. And were you were continuing to practice until when with that?
Well, I'm in the school, so I just finished the school year May 24th, and it was like out of sight, out of mind.
Okay. Thank you.
So could I clarify, so that is that you did practice occupational therapy with an expired license. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, in hindsight, that is what occurred.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the renewal of Ms. Pfeiffer with using our practicing without a license matrix, 1 month to 5.95 months, which is probation of 1 year and then 3 hours of continuing education and medical ethics. In the form of do I need to add consent agreement to that?
Thank you.
Okay, with a consent agreement that outlines probation of 1 year and 3 hours of continuing education in medical ethics.
And if I may, just taking a look at the situation and the time frame. So Ms. Pfeiffer's license expired on April 15th and the school year ended later the following month in May.
Mm-hmm.
And considering the nature of the situation, and it was a bit of looks like a computer error, and in terms of school days, on our matrix, if we looked at practicing without a license for 1 day to 1 month, and that would be 19 days or less, I think we're kind of close between that and the second matrix item. So I was just throwing it out if the board would consider if we utilize the matrix for practicing without a license, 1 day to 1 month, 19 days or less in this situation, which would be a non-disciplinary letter of concern. I just wanted to raise that for the board.
And are you basing that on work days or calendar days?
And I was basing that on practice time, so that would be 19 days or less.
Okay.
And considering the school schedule, I think we would be pretty close to that. And also taking into consideration the trail of attempting, but kind of falling off there.
Mr. Chair, my only pushback is I don't see where there was any type of system computer glitch. From the licensing standpoint, I see where she, based on the information she provided, that it just didn't get completed. She oversight on her part, but I didn't see evidence that there was a systemic technical issue that prevented her from completing the application process.
Agreed.
Mr. Chair, I think it's important too, as part of the board's responsibility, is to have it in the record that Ms. Pfeiffer did disclose that she had practiced occupational therapy with an expired license, which is a violation of the Arizona Revised Statute 32-340110Z, failing to renew a license while continuing to practice occupational therapy. I think it's important that we note that.
Thank you, Ms. Paulson.
Yes, and when I count calendar days or practice times, I come up with, if we go to May 24th, 32 days. So it seems to still fall within the 1 month to 20 days to 119 days.
Thank you, Ms. Marbs.
If I may, Mr. Chair, does board staff have any insights on the program that was being used other than sending out the renewals or anything? Is there anything that triggers an application that is not? Well, you will know if it's not completed, if it's submitted, but is there something that shows it's just out there, like with that inactivity, to alert the applicant or not?
From my understanding, when an application is started, I don't even know myself, this is Vicki, that an application has been started. Unless I get notified to look that application up, then it gives a history of anything that goes on in that file. And the only thing I had seen once I received her reinstatement was that she did actually start her application on April 11th, but there is a button that they click just before payment that states that they're agreeing and attesting everything is true and correct. And then that's when their payment comes up once they sign their name. But that button was not selected. So then the application does not move forward. So after, I'm not sure the exact time frame, the system will close it into due to inactivity and send an email to the applicant.
Thank you for clarifying that, Ms. Ugarola.
So, you're welcome.
This is Teresa Pfeiffer again. If I may clarify, in regards to the days that I worked, I know there were 2 days. It was April 19th and 20th. And then I work 4 days a week, and that was 5 days following. So that's 22 days on my practice calendar. I believe some of which were not directly with students, but regardless. And then I do recall selecting the attest button And maybe it is that it wasn't the payment that was completed, which would line up with why I thought it was submitted and completed. I really apologize because I thought that I had renewed. I would have never proceeded without.
Based on all the information that's been presented to us, Mr. Chair, I will go back to my original motion to offer consent to approve the renewal of Ms. Pfeiffer's license, along with issuing a consent agreement that offers 1 year probation and then the 3 hours of continuing education and medical ethics.
I'll go ahead and second that motion. Barbara Paulson.
It is moved and seconded to offer a consent agreement for approval and issuance of licensure to Ms. Pfeiffer with the completion of 3 hours of continuing education and medical ethics to be completed within 6 months and 1 year probation. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion.
Mr. Chair, oops, go ahead, sorry.
Motion passes unanimously.
Mr. Chair, those continuing ed, not to be used as renewal, is that in addition to?
In addition to the standard renewal hours. Thank you, Ms. Iorola.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And just to clarify for Ms. Pfeiffer that if this consent agreement is not accepted within 30 days of being offered, or you have 30 days.
Will I receive a form, an email? Do I reach out to you?
Ms. Pfeiffer, you'll receive an email from me directly, and I'll offer you the consent agreement and ask for your signature. Or if you have any concerns, then you just come back to me, and it'll be addressed at the next board meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing and for coming.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Our next item of business is agenda item 9B2, the matter of Eddie Huff reinstatement. And Mr. Huff's topic appeared on our agenda last month, and the board requested Mr. at this meeting to give a little bit further lapse in licensure. Is Mr. Huff with us today?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you. Just wanted to give you the opportunity to address the board at this point and provide any additional information that may be helpful in this matter.
Yeah, thank you. So I believe my license had expired in February. At the time, I was kind of dealing with some medical concerns and, you know, just lost track of when it was due, up until my job had asked me to give them my license to put on file for this upcoming year. And that's when I started the process, and I didn't even realize that I had, you know, forgotten it. So.
Any questions from members of the board?
I don't have any additional questions.
Well, looking briefly, looking again at our matrix and the statute involved, ARS 32-3401-10Z, failing to renew a license while continuing to practice occupational therapy, and looking at our usual grid of 9 months, 20 to 119 days of practice time, the typical disciplinary action, and 3 hours of continuing education in medical ethics.
So are you saying, Mr. Daly, that Mr. Huff's license would be reinstated if he agrees to this consent agreement?
Yes, and I'd be happy to offer up the motion.
Okay.
Move to offer a consent agreement for approval and issuance of licensure to Mr. Huff with the required completion of 3 hours continuing education in medical ethics or billing, which shall be in addition to the standard continuing education requirement for licensure, to be completed within 6 months of the date of the signed consent agreement and 1 year probation.
I will second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that we offer a consent agreement for the approval and issuance of licensure to Mr. Huff with the required completion of 3 hours continuing education in medical ethics or billing, which shall be in addition to the standard continuing education requirement for licensure, to be completed within 6 months of the date of the signed consent agreement and 1 year probation.
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much for your time with us today, Mr. Huff. Do you have any questions for us?
I do not. I'll just get the an email from you guys. Just like.
Yes, Mr. Huff. Same thing. I will reach out to you by email and offer you the consent agreement, of which you can sign. Or once again, if you have any concerns, it will be brought up to the next board meeting.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Have a good day.
Thank you. All right. Moving on to agenda item 9B3, the matter of Derek Kent, a disclosure. And looking over the materials that we were provided, they were quite a bit difficult to decipher. And we did invite Mr. Kent to the meeting today. Is Mr. Kent with us?
Yes, sir. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kent. Would you mind giving us a bit of a summary of that paperwork provided and anything to consider?
Sure. Yeah, it is pretty faded. I apologize for that. I received the third copy, so it was pretty faded. I moved to Arizona from California, have a great job, and then I just got a surprise in the mail one day. Long story short, I accepted a plea agreement, kind of like what the previous applicant had stated. I would have fought this charge all the way, but I just didn't have the money to keep flying round trip to California and hotel fare and all this stuff. So I accepted a plea deal, and I'm currently going through the process of completing all the conditions handed down to me.
Mr. Kent, would you be able to provide a summary of the conditions of that plea deal?
It's 3 years informal probation. I have to do 16 hours of community service. I have to pay fines, and then I have to attend a BAT online program for a year.
Excuse me, a what kind of program online?
It's an online batterers program for the plea deal. The I accepted a plea deal for misdemeanor domestic violence.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome.
And Mr. Kent, do you have to go back to California for that, or are you doing it virtually, or how does that work?
Yeah, the year program's online, and then I could do community service anywhere here in Cochise County, or, you know, Sierra Vista where I live. Okay. So, and then to my understanding, what I was told is that I have the 3 years to get all these items complete, including paying off all the fines.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hopefully this is the last piece and I could just move on with my life. This has just upended my whole life, like the last 6-7 months.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion that we go into executive session for legal advice.
I will second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that we go into executive session for legal advice. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, leaving regular session at 2:37 p.m.
As a reminder, we will move from this session, all board members, and public can stay here. Just please no side conversations. Thank you. And Ms. Iguarola will be here to keep the meeting going.
We are returning to general session at 2:47 p.m.
Mr. Chair, well, first I'd like to say, Mr. Kent, thank you for coming, and thank you for providing the documentation that you have up until this point. At this point, I'll speak on behalf of us by saying that the documentation is very illegible, and we need clear documentation before we can take a final vote on the renewal of your application. Although your license will stay in effect at this time until it expires, which I believe Ms. Ganatra said is next month.
Yeah.
Okay. So at this time, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion that we continue this matter until our next board meeting and ask Mr. Kent to provide us all official documentation from the court regarding this plea, official documentation outlining the terms and conditions of the plea, and then all official documentation showing that you have completed all of the actions in alignment with the terms of your plea agreement.
I understand. I just don't know how I would get you that. What I mean?
Yeah, you may want to consult with an attorney to help you figure that out.
I don't have money for that. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't even know if my court-appointed attorney would be able to help with that. I'll look into it, but I don't know. That's all they gave me, that paperwork. I know it's illegible. I mean, it's just something that's out of my power.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I did try to print it color and black and white to see if it would be a little bit more legible. I know you could probably contact the courts, whoever provided you the original order of what is ordered for you to do. They should have provided you with those documents when you attended, whether it was phone or not. Something should have been mailed to you maybe. But you should be able to obtain that from the courts. Mm-hmm.
And that's all they gave me was those two slips that I emailed you, Vicki. In person, they gave me that stuff, and that was it.
Right. And yes, in person. So you might want to just try to call them and let them know that you're in need of those documentations, and then they should be able to provide you, being it is regarding yourself.
Understood.
Yeah. It seems that we've had other applicants come before us who had to contact.
Yes, Ms. Paulson, you are correct.
Yeah, whether it was state or local, and they were able to get that information either mailed to them or sent via email. So
I'll be contacting them right as soon as we're done.
All right. Give it your best, Mr. Kent.
All right. I will do.
And do we need to vote on the motion to continue this matter?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Do we have a second?
I will second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that we continue the matter of Mr. Kent to the next board meeting. In order for Mr. Kent to secure all official court documentation related to the plea agreement, terms and conditions of the plea agreement, as well as disposition and action requirements of the plea. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much, Mr. Kent, for your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you again next month.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for having me.
Thank
you. You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, moving on in our agenda, item 9B4, Shane Johnson disclosure, which we addressed at our board meeting last month. Mr. Johnson has provided a couple of additional documents that were distributed to board members. Mr. Johnson, are you with us today?
Yes, Mr. Johnson is here. And Mr. Johnson, I did put you on mute earlier because of the feedback. If you could just push *6, that will get you unmuted, as I cannot do it on my end. Oh, perfect. I see you unmuted.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Hi, Mr. Johnson. Thank you so much for providing us with the additional documentation that was requested. And I understand that your hearing was postponed. Is that correct?
That is correct. There, according to my attorneys, the judge that was going to be presiding with the settlement conference was promoted to a different position. And so there, it was all something that happened within the last couple of weeks. And so I found out last week that they're in the process of getting a judge to fill in, and then we'll be able to do the settlement conference. But as of this morning, I still don't have a date for that. But the last in-court meeting that I appearance that I had, which was within the last couple of months, I know my attorney and the judge and the prosecutor, because this has all been going on since August of last year, and they were wanting to have everything wrapped up with the case by September or October at the latest. But the idea of the settlement conference was to see if we can come up with a resolution on the initial plea that I had provided, that the prosecutor had offered to me back in December, and just to see if we can come up with a resolution in the meantime. So I expect that we will be having a settlement conference here, especially with the risk assessment now being provided to the attorneys and that I forwarded to you guys.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions from members of the board?
I want to ask board staff. So is there a timeline? Is this those 120 day thing? Does this impact this situation?
Ms. Paulson, I believe once it's with the board, there we are allotted.
I believe it's 60 days for for licensing, to process the license, and then 60 days for the board. So it, the overall time frame, I believe, is 120 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Aguirre. Thank you.
Okay. And Ms. Ganatra, I could be wrong, but I just know that there is a 60 and 60, the 120 days total.
Yeah, I will pull up the statutes and rules, but I believe, I think you are correct.
Yes.
Spoke of that.
I was thinking that too, because it seemed we had a, we've talked about had this as a topic in previous board meetings. So.
Yes. Yeah. That's still okay. For all time frame. Mr. Harris, are we correct?
Yes.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank but you putting, for
putting aside those time frames, at the end of the day, though, you know, there's, you know, the consequence if for some reason they're not met is returning the, you know, the fee, but not making a decision on the application. You can only make that when you feel like you have all the information to make a final decision once.
Okay.
And at some point, you know, you're just going to have to determine if this continues to get continued, if you're just going to make a decision and determine what is appropriate based upon all of the information that you have, or if you want to continue to wait until to see if there's a final disposition with the court system.
Thank you.
Considering the additional documentation supplied and the nature of the circumstances and still kind of pending the conference, I would personally be comfortable continuing the matter again until we have the results of that settlement conference.
If that's a motion, Mr. Chairman, I second the motion to continue.
Ms. Paulson, if you have any objections, or I will put that into a motion.
Go ahead.
I move that we continue the matter of Mr. Johnson to next month's board meeting, or to next month's board meeting, regardless of completion of this settlement conference for status of.
I second the motion.
It is moved and seconded that we continue the matter of Mr. Johnson to our August board meeting, pending completion of settlement conference and or a check-in with the board. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for being with us again, Mr. Johnson.
It appears he got dropped off the meeting.
Okay, moving on. Agenda item 10. Review consideration, possible action on licensure applications, and I will move to ratify the 186 initial renewal and reinstatement applications that have been approved by the executive director.
This is Barbara Paulson. I'll second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that we ratify the 186 initial renewal and reinstatement applications that have been approved by the executive director. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Mars?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 11, review consideration and possible action, Board business and reports, Ms. Ganatra.
Yes, Mr. Daly, thank you. So 11A, I'll move to automated email notification sent via Salesforce. So it was identified at last month's meeting that board members wanting to know more information on how Salesforce worked in terms of the automated emails and if there were any identified issues that may have prevented an email from going to the licensee or applicant within our system. I did attach in our documents or material a screenshot of one of the individuals that was discussed last month's meeting, and to demonstrate that she did receive those emails, and it does show in Salesforce, and the dates that she opened those emails. And we're able to also see in that screenshot, if you're able to pull it up, is that there is the information on if an email was sent by board staff or if the email was sent from the automated system. Okay. So it's very detailed. Mm-hmm. And on that, we also found out that that's pretty accurate. So if it does state that that email was open, then it actually was indeed opened. The only way that possibly it may show as open but may not be is if someone has, or say, for instance, an automatic email spam opening tool or something that they've had onto their Gmail, which is above my understanding of how Gmail works, but will it allow them to open those automatically and show that they were opened. Otherwise, it is pretty accurate. When someone does open an email, it actually does indicate that that email was opened on the date that it was opened on.
Okay. Thank you so much for getting this information. This is very clear, very detailed, and answers the question, and kind of, I know for me, eases my mind, and not have that lingering out there. So thank you so much.
Of course. And it's a great point, because we want to ensure that, when we send things out, that they are going appropriately. And, we do advise that, and Missy Garola mentioned that sometimes it goes in spam. Mm-hmm. So that's something I know she definitely informs of to those that she speaks with, and that I inform of, that please check your spam, ensure that you're looking at all your inboxes. So yeah, we definitely want to make sure it's going appropriately. And I'll make a note too that Thentia, when we eventually transition, they do have this option to see if emails were opened. So that's going to be a good way to keep the transition.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks. All right.
Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you.
Looking at item 11B, chairperson's report, one, updates on OT licensure compact. Just one quick update. We do have a new executive director who has been appointed to the OT compact efforts, who is now in the process of information gathering. There should be a number of communications updates coming out shortly. So not a whole lot of new information, but we've got some items coming down the pike soon. Any questions about that at all?
No.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. So then I will take on 11C, Executive Director's Report. So 11C, one, financial review. I did have to include, if you're able to pull it up, that financial review is the same information from last month. And that is because they did pull that report out mid-month for us to be able to determine the fiscal year-end spends. And I could not get an updated report since the AFIS system, which is our finance system, doesn't close until Saturday. And so we will have to wait until next month to get that report. But I can update that we are still working through the fiscal year-end finances to ensure that we've budgeted and we have all of the invoices paid for by, of course, we have a year, but I don't think it'll probably take us maybe a month or two to get everything settled so that all the expenses are accounted for. Of that expense, though, we had what was the Senate Bill 1720, which passed, which allotted our boards to move the funds that were allocated for Thentia or e-licensing expenses from FY23 to FY24, still keeping it in the FY23 budget, but under a subsection which allows us to access it in FY24. So of that, all of the startup and initiation costs for Thentia, whatever was not paid, which I believe we paid about half in October of 22, that was the other half was now allotted for us to be able to use for this fiscal year towards Thentia expenses. And it, I believe it was because of a lot of the delays on Thentia's end that they passed this Senate bill to allot us the opportunity to not lose our monies towards the Thentia expenses. And so we'll address that more next month when I get a more updated report. I'll demonstrate what was purchased in the fiscal year and that, you know, any big expenses and whatnot.
Okay.
Any questions or? I will move on. All right. And so I will go to 11C2, which is review of recent board staff activities. Ms. Iguarola and I are still working the hybrid model of days in office and days at home. And of course, you might have seen that we're continuing to grow and there's a lot of applications still coming in and increased since scores came out as well as, you know, graduations. So I appreciate Ms. Iguarola. There's a lot to be happening right now. And just an update on board member positions for the professional positions. So I did hear back from Director Deister, and there are two individuals that have been selected for fingerprinting. And if everything's good, then within 2 to 3 weeks, we will have them onboarded with our board. So I'll keep you
updated. Oh, nice. Yay.
So that'll be good news. So we can't wait to hear. They cannot give me names, of course, just yet. But once I find out, I will inform y'all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. And then 11C3 statistics A, we have currently 4,656 licensees.
Wow.
Yeah, it's growing.
Yes.
Thank you. If there's no questions.
Any questions for Ms. Ganatra?
No,
not at this time.
Ganatra, moving on to agenda item 12, review, discussion, and possible action on accepting occupational therapy rules subcommittee recommended with respect to the following occupational therapy rules. Item A being Article 1, General Provisions, Sections R443-101-103. Have the members of the board had a chance to peruse the document that was provided last meeting with the recommended revisions to the rules?
Mr. Chair, this is Barbara Paulson. I am happy to report that I did complete my homework. And I want to say, in the definition section that dealt with supervision, kudos to the subcommittee. So clear and so concise that a non-practitioner like myself could understand what they were saying. I thought it was so excellent.
I agree. I did my homework as well. I will tell you, I've been to the optometrist since then, so. And have new glasses on today, but I did my homework as well and agree with Ms. Paulson on that particular rule that it was clear to a lay person, right? Non-professional in the field. It's like, yep, get it. Totally clear.
So much better than it was. Now, Mr. Chair, can we ask as board members about some of the conversation or decisions that the subcommittee made, or is that?
Sure. And what if we take it, if we are able to actually vote today, is that correct?
Yes.
Could we look at each, say, for example, 12A, looking at R4-43-101-103, any questions, discussion, or anything pertaining to those items first?
Let me make sure I have the right one. gosh. Hold on, let me pull up my magnified copy.
On my big television, Ms. Marks.
What'd you say?
It was so cute. You said you would project it to your television. I was just curious.
Yeah. That was helpful, though. All right. You can keep talking, and I'll get it pulled up.
I have no questions in that section. Just applause.
I closed out one tab too many. Come on. I apologize, you guys. I had a bunch of tabs open and closed out some.
No worries.
While we're up, if it's okay, may I just make a quick announcement on this topic? Okay.
Please.
We are holding our next subcommittee meeting next I should have had that prepared. Next Wednesday, I apologize, July 19th at 2 p.m. And I've updated, the agenda is already posted, and we'll just update the subcommittee members and AOTA as well to participate.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There it is. I have it on my dual monitor now. Okay, I am ready. And so just to be clear, we're voting on the recommended changes, correct?
Yes. And just to be further clear, that this doesn't mean that the rules automatically change. This just is basically the first step in what is now many, many formal steps to opening up a formal rule docket, notifying the governor's office, GIRC. We're probably still looking optimistically at another, 6 to 12 to 18 months. And 18 months is really on the long side.
Okay.
But it's a significant first step.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And one more question. We will look at these one by one.
You don't have to, only if you have questions.
Okay. I have two questions then. Under the statute or section R4-43-101, under definitions, good moral character, am I understanding the revision to say that it's removing or deleting the previous wording where it kind of gave some guidelines about felony or misdemeanor and 5 years? And
yes, and that's because the law changed and okay. The board can no longer consider it, so they were just updating the rules to reflect the new statutes.
And so good moral character will only apply to the licensure, like if there's some
No, it no longer. You can no longer use good moral character as a basis for reviewing an application.
So, how do criminal records come into play? Is it the criminal record or the term good moral character? That's where I'm.
Yeah, I think again, these are just modifications to your rules, mm-hmm. and so the rules are now reflecting the statutes. Your other areas in your statutes that give you the ability to review minimum requirements are still in place, and hopefully there'll be areas in those that will allow you to look at one's past. You just simply will not be able to use good moral character as a basis for the denial. And that's not unique to, our board. It applies to every health board. So that statute that removed good moral character applies to doctors, dentists, massage therapists, nurses, behavioral health professionals, psychologists, so on and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really more of just a house cleaning change.
Okay.
You know.
And then the other question I had was about the, let me go down, replace license. Let me find the number. It was the one about if there's not a place for them to properly display their certificate size license, that a digital or wallet size would be issued. Do you all issue those now to people?
Yes, Ms. Marbs, we do issue a wallet.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
With Centia, it would allow them to print it themselves.
Oh, yeah. Great.
But that's for future. Yeah.
Okay. Those were the only questions I had.
So then, Mr. Chairman, as you were proposing, perhaps you could entertain a motion on 11A.
Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion that the board accept the Occupational Therapy Rules Subcommittee's recommendations on 12, Article 1, or do I just say the section, or Article 1, General Provisions, Sections R4-43, 101 to 103?
Perfect.
Okay. Blah, blah, blah. That's a lot. Is there a second?
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
It is moved and seconded that we adopt the subcommittee recommendations pertaining to Article 1, General Provisions, Sections R4-43, 101 to 103. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item 12B, Article 2, Licensure, Sections R4-43, 201 through 206. And again, open to discussion, questions, etc.
I just had, mine is just simply a curiosity question on the minimal grade that was changed from a C to a B for continuing ed on renewals. I was just curious what the thought process was there, because, you know, C is average, but, you know.
And interestingly enough, that was one topic we did receive quite a bit of feedback from community therapists regarding. And the feeling was that in terms of your licensure and paying money for a class, that a grade of C or higher should satisfy those requirements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a lot of professional certifications and licenses, a 70%, which is low C, is typically acceptable.
And if I understood Ms. Paulson correctly, I think you may have been looking at the 2015 revisions that, if I'm not mistaken, yes, that were indicating to change that, but then it was discussed and agreed to not make that change.
Oh, okay. Good.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. So it's maintained at the same of the, so the last column will just indicate what is being changed.
Oh,
so
that
was a little confusing.
Sorry, I probably had it blown up so big on my screen, I didn't see the whole shot. So, but it was still interesting to have this conversation. So.
Well, yeah, but I had to read it again too, because I was like, why would they change that to B? That's kind of
70% is so typical among a lot of certifications.
Yeah, that is passing, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. No one cares if you make the honor roll at some point. It's overkill.
So that's all I had on that section.
Anything else on that section, Ms. Marv?
No, Ms. Polson started it. I didn't have anything.
Well, then I shall follow through and move that the board accept the Occupational Therapy Rules Subcommittee recommendations with respect to Article 2 licensure. Sections are 4-43201 to 206.
I second the motion.
It is moved and seconded that the board accept the subcommittee recommendations pertaining to Article 2, licensure, sections R4-43, 201 through 206. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlie Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, and that takes us to agenda item 12C, review of Article 4, regulatory provisions, sections R4-43, 401 through 406.
This is Barbara Paulson. I had no concerns or questions on that section.
This is Charlene Marks. I have nothing either.
Okay, well, I will move that the board accept the Occupational Therapy Rules Subcommittee recommendations with respect to the section Article 4, regulatory provisions, sections R4-43-401 to 406.
I second.
It is moved and seconded that the board approve the subcommittee recommendations pertaining to Article 4, regulatory provisions, sections R4-43, items 401 through 406. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlie Marbs?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. All right.
One, keep up the good work there, subcommittee.
All right. Agenda item 13, agenda items for next meeting.
To add the continuance of Mr. Johnson's license.
And we have the continuance of Mr. Kent's license
as well.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
You're back.
Sorry, Mr. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt. It's interesting listening to everything. Yeah, this is Shane Johnson. I don't know what happened with my phone, but I locked right as you guys were going to motion. Like, my phone call was still on, but it just went completely silent. So I did not hear. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I didn't know what the outcome was regarding my matter.
Ms. Ganatra, would you like to provide?
Yes, Mr. Johnson. So your matter has been continued until the next board meeting in August.
Okay.
And I will follow up with you on how to join, and please keep us apprised of anything that comes along before that
absolutely.
Meeting.
Yes, I will. I'll email you, and I mean, as soon as I know about like the settlement conference and if we have it and have the results of it, I will, you know, in any plea or new offer, anything like that, any information I get, I will absolutely get to you guys.
Thank you. I can say that you've been very communicative with us, so I do appreciate that very much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you guys for just listening and your understanding and your consideration and the whole matter. I know it's a very complex situation, but I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Okay, bye-bye.
Continuing with agenda items, are we missing anything?
Yes, I would like to put on the next month's agenda to discuss an alternate date for the November board meeting, that second Friday, because it's on the holiday calendar for state employees. So I don't think you have to come to work that day, right?
I apologize. That was that was me as I created the agenda. So I will take a look. Oh, actually, I did not put November in there, did I? So that is something we can add.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And we can discuss September. Is that correct?
Yes, please.
Right. Yes.
Anything additional?
I have nothing, Mr. Chair.
Hearing nothing additional, moving on to agenda item 14, call to the public. I do not believe we have any public members with us at the moment. Hearing no comments from the public, moving on to agenda item 15, hearing no further agenda items or action, I would like to move that we adjourn our board meeting for today.
I second.
It is moved and seconded that we adjourn our board meeting at 3:27 p.m.